Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:25 and that specific summertime. Well, today we saw that the Chinese market in particular was really quite firm. This continues to look like a relatively similar size range to that which we saw between January and, well, I guess more like the end of December and February. When you look at a trend that's been consistently moving higher, it's often the thing that's most consistent is the size of the reactions. So we're now presented with another range which is reasonably similar sized, and that means that despite the fact that we have this incredible overextension relative to the EMA, not least because you've had this just unprecedentedly powerful breakout from the base, that it would be more that you would look at the size of the reaction rather than the overextension, because, well, I suppose at the chart seminar we say that ranges are explosions waiting to happen, and that a long base is a bigger range than most, and that what you expect is to have an outsized breakout. Well, we've certainly had that in China. It means that the low that we had earlier this month is probably the most relevant touchstone in terms of the consistency of the short to medium term trend. Well, interestingly, the Hang Seng the Hong Kong market and the Hang Seng were down by about 0.2%. The ASX is firming in the region of 5,600. The Australian dollar is also a little bit firmer in here today. The Nikkei was relatively unchanged, but this continues to really be quite encouraging that the Nikkei has pushed through 20,000. 20,000 is sort of a big psychological level. The market has been sort of pausing there for the last 6 weeks, and considering that the Bank of Japan is printing like it was going out of fashion, then it's looking quite encouraging at this level. Europe was reasonably unchanged. The FTSE was almost flat on the day, and the DAX was up about 0.14%. The S&P was, the Dow Jones was flat on the day. The S&P was only up about 0.25%, and the Canadian market was up a bit less than 1%. Just like the Australian dollar has firmed, and that's acting as a confidence builder for the stock market, the Canadian dollar has also steadied up over the last week or two, and not least because a number of the mining sector shares and the resources sector have at least stabilized. When we look at the rest of the markets, then this incredibly volatile situation that we have at the long end of the curve remains intact, that the 30-year treasury was stronger today by about almost 1.5 points, and the number of days just in the last week that we've seen it trade over a point and often over 2 points in either direction is pretty unprecedented. You know, the volatility that's crept into that market is really quite stunning. But we're trading at 154 for a contract that redeems at par, so we know that this is pretty rarefied territory here. We're still in the region of the moving average in terms of the trend, but that what you have is a failed downside break from that move to a new low in January, and that this has been a pretty impressive rebound here, so that the dynamic of the failed break is greater than the dynamic of the breakdown in the first place, and that the likelihood is that we're going to see yields trade up towards 4% on the 30-year at some point over the next year. Well, David posted a number of charts yesterday looking at the lows that we've seen in yields, and despite the fact that we're seeing a little bit of to and fro here, that it remains the base case that we've seen the low in yields. When we get back to the long-term progression of lower rally highs, well, then that's where we ask the really big questions, but that the most likely scenario now is that we do actually go up and test the long-term progression of lower rally highs on the yield. What is interesting also, and it's not something that we look at particularly often, is the size of the Fed's balance sheet. Well, the Fed quit its quantitative easing program late last year, and the expansion of its balance sheet stagnated. Well, no one has really talked about the correlation between the advance that we've seen on Wall Street, particularly the S&P, and the expansion of the Fed's balance sheet. There was a lot of talk about that a year ago, not so much more recently. Interestingly, the S&P moved to a new all-time high last week, or early this week, and the size of the Fed's balance sheet also pushed up. It didn't make a new high, but certainly it strengthened within the little, very tight short-term range. Well, the Fed might not want to have the strongest currency in the world, and we're certainly presented with a more volatile environment. The euro was a little bit firmer in here today. It's closing out the day at 1.111. So, obviously, that was an interesting level just from the repeating of the single number. But what we, if you look at this over the medium term, that the euro's rally has been nothing more than a reversion to the mean, and that it has encountered resistance in the region of the moving average. Then, I would say one of the more interesting charts is to look at the Deutschmark, because we have lots and lots of back history. You can go to the chart library, type DEM for the Deutschmark, and then look at all the data we have available. It goes back to the 1960s. And look at that on a monthly chart, and what you have is a very clear breakout from a long base and finding support in the region of the moving average for the US dollar. Then you would have to see something serious go wrong before you would start to conclude that the dollar isn't going to get stronger from here. But the pound is a little bit of a different scenario. The pound was stronger today by almost 1.25 cents. It's up to 156.60. And then if you go to the chart library and look at the very long-term chart of the pound, that it has ranged between 1.4 and 2 for nearly 30 years. And we're at the lower side of that range and bouncing from the region of the lower side of that range, that the chances are that we're not going to see the pound get substantially weaker from here, and not least because the UK economy has got some internal strengths that some of its competitors just don't have. And I think that some of those strengths are still being priced in, particularly in the aftermath of the election result that we've had. Well, with the dollar still looking as if this is nothing more than a mean reversion within the context of what is a new bull market, then the gold price was weaker today by about $3. It's still pulling back from the region of $1,225. Well, this $1,225 level is the region of the trend mean. It's also around where the progression of lower rally highs is, and I guess in short, it's the first area of potential resistance. Gold really does have to push above 1225 to begin to confirm that the demand component of the market is back in the driver's seat, that this is a market that is going to push up towards 1400 and potentially even break out, that the long period of consolidation after the big breakdown nearly 3 years ago has ended, but we're just not there yet. Now, oil prices today were stronger by over a dollar. WTI was up by $1.7. It's back above 60. Brent crude was up almost 150. It's up to 66.51. And the rig count continues to go lower. The rig count hasn't looked back. Well, we know now that the $45 area is an area of support. It's where, with oil prices falling and the rig count has been declining since September, that high-cost producers have had to reduce capex, that major producers have reduced their capex, where the spending on increasing new delivering new supply, it has stopped, and the number of rigs being employed in delivering new supply continues to trend lower. Oil prices are still rebounding. They've now closed the overextension relative to the trend mean, and a clear downward dynamic and a breakdown from what has been a 3 week range would be required to confirm more than short term resistance in this region following today's upward dynamic. We don't yet know at what point prices will have to rally to encourage the rig count to turn around, for people to start spending money again on delivering new supply. What it would suggest is that that price is higher than $60. When the rig count turns, the chances are that then that is going to represent a peak for the oil price rally, and that will be will represent the upper side of what could be a potentially lengthy range. Well, veteran subscribers know that we've been talking about unconventional oil and gas being a game changer for the energy sector for years, but that's now in the price, and the unconventional oil and gas producers are now the marginal source of supply for the energy market. Well, the game changer for the next decade is probably going to be solar. That solar is a technology, it's not an extractive resource, and that means that it, that Moore's Law is applicable, that we're going to get a cheaper, more efficient product coming through on a sustained basis. The fact that batteries are now at a stage where you can put them in your home, and that's only really just starting, means that technology is going to be the big game changer for the energy sector in the next decade. It means that oil prices could be ranging for a prolonged period of time. We just don't know exactly yet at what point the upper side of that range is likely to be. And we won't have evidence of it until oil breaks its progression of higher reaction lows and the rig count starts to turn around. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, and I wish all the best to all of you.